So on the one hand, we have dynamite, and on the other hand, we have dynamite. And the challenge is for us to transition from dynamite, in other words, possibly tapping into this power that's hard to explain or contain or something of that description, or allowing that very same power of God, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to do a deeper work in our life first. Expand us first. Expand our heart first. And then we can do a greater work for Him. I'll illustrate this this way. When I was 34 years old, I went to the foreign mission field. And in my head, oh, what a work of God I was going to do for God. Are you understanding this? You know, when you're 34, like a certain young man over here, or younger, like some over here, you think you know a lot. But actually, you haven't experienced a whole lot of life yet. But I thought, wow, what an opportunity for God to use me. Well, what happened was not that. What happened was God did a deeper work in me. That's why He transplanted me from the good old comfortable U.S. of A. to a foreign land in South America so He could have a captive audience, so He could get my attention. Are you with me? So oftentimes we think we have it somewhat together. We know we don't have it all together unless we're totally deceived. But we, you know, we think we got it pretty well together until the light of the Holy Spirit begins to shine. And then we say, oh, oh, oh. Dynamite or dynamite? Who is this lady named Dinah, anyway? Dunamis, the power of God, the power of Holy Spirit, the power that expands you. And I'm not talking about your midsection. I'm talking about the essence of who you are. Breathes upon your spirit and does a work in your heart and in your spirit. He does a work in this too, because often we have to get past this limitation here, which some think can accomplish almost anything. And it can accomplish some things. But the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the dynamite, provides the means to accomplish Father's desire and Father's will. And isn't it curious that that's one of the scriptures that Rich opened with this morning? God is at work both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So this Holy Spirit, Romans 8:27, says the Holy Spirit intercedes according to the will of God. And how can He do that? Because He knows the will of the Father. Therefore, He can intercede or pray for you and I according to his will. 1 Peter 4:6 talks about us living in the Spirit or with the power of Holy Spirit according to the will of God. So we've been given the Holy Spirit to enable us or to help us to first find out what the will of God is, and then secondly, then to live in the will of God. That is the goal of the Christian life. You understand that? For you, personally, to live in the will of God. And we don't always know what that is, and without the Holy Spirit, you will never know what that is. You won't have a clue what that involves. For instance, I never desired, I never wanted, I never in a million years intended to preach the gospel. Never even came into my mind, honestly. All I agreed to was to go to Bible school. That was it. That's all I signed up for. In 1980. And oh boy, what I've been through in the last 30 or so years. And quite honestly, if I had known what God intended then, where did he go? Which way did he go? All right, you're with me. Isn't that who you are, too? Aren't you a little bit like that as well? I think so. All right, so how can we minimize the dynamite, M-I-G-H-T, and maximize the dynamite, M-I-T-E? That's what we're looking at today. How can you release that dynamite that's inside of you, or what fosters or facilitates you operating in the power of Holy Spirit? That's what we're going to discuss today. Five ways I've identified in this few verses. Number one. Operate from truth or from a position of truth. From verse 1 and 3. It says, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. Not your mind. You can know all the commandments or all the things in the Word of God and not keep them. Because there's no heart change. The truth, you have not allowed the truth to impact you in any way whatsoever. That's why someone could actually memorize the entire Bible and it would be of no use, ultimately. Unless that person allowed that word to do some work. That truth in the word to do some work in their life. Romans 10, verse 8, which is actually quoting Deuteronomy 30:14. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. Well, that can be true, and hopefully it is true, but the way for that to become a reality in your life is to read it, study it, and listen to it, and then ultimately apply it. I can illustrate this very simply. I mean, I am not a walking Bible dictionary, if I could say it that way. But having read the Bible cover to cover some 30-something times in its entirety, the Word of God is inside of me. You understand this? I've taken it in time and time and time again, because I read through the Bible every single year. So when I sit to prepare a sermon, I don't say, now what scripture can I use under point number one? I don't do that. The Holy Spirit begins to quote those scriptures that are already within me. Seriously, that is how it is supposed to be. Allowing that word to live within you and being in tune with Holy Spirit so that you hear, you're listening and you hear what the Holy Spirit is saying so that you can in turn operate from truth. It also says there in verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Well, that means you got to do something with the word. You are accountable when you hear the word. When the word goes forth, the atmosphere changes. You don't have to feel goosebumps, you don't have to feel anything, but you know the word, when it goes forth, carries power to accomplish God's purposes. It just does. You don't have to understand it, you just have to agree with it. So you have to reinforce or strengthen the word that you have allowed in. Allow that word to do its intended work. That's why you can have read a particular verse in the Bible 10 times, and then on any given day you say, aha, why is that? Do you ever think of that? Why all of a sudden on that day do you get revelation? It's because the Holy Spirit, who knows the will of God, who knows what you need, breathes upon and gives life to that particular verse. You've read it 10 times and you never saw that in that verse. But on that day, I'm like, oh my goodness. You have an aha moment. That's not letting the truth leave you, so that when the time comes, Holy Spirit will give it life. So we have the right word of truth, then there's a right time for that truth, and then there's the right power, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit to bring life to it. Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant I will make. I will put my laws into their minds and I will write them upon their hearts. Now obviously there's a lot more to that scripture, just highlighting that particular aspect of it there. Also, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God or the word of truth is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so what is that saying? It's saying it contains the power to accomplish the impossible. That's really what that verse is saying. Because even the most skilled surgeon is unable to separate the bone from the marrow. It's such an intricate thing. But the scripture says the word of God can do it. It can cut to the chase in your life and get to the bottom of things very quickly. So we need to know and operate in truth, and it will set us free. John 8:32. Know the truth, and it will make you free, or will set you free. And I would also add that it will release the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish or draw out the truth at any given moment that God desires. Secondly, so we have operate from truth. Secondly, operate from trust. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do you do that? Are you able to even do that? The Amplified reads this way. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord. And so this is an ongoing challenge or an ongoing process for all of us. And why is that? Well, I have two children, and they're both here today. And something that was very familiar to me when they were little was, I want to do it myself. I know you never said that, nor do you ever say that to God, even now as an adult, right? No, I didn't think so. Lean on, rely on, be confident. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, 4 and 5. The sheep follow him because, what? They know his voice. And verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And it also says there, if we were to go in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, they will not follow another because they don't recognize or they don't know that voice. So, trust in the Lord. And do good in the land, Psalms 37:3, and dwell in the land and cultivate his faithfulness. Literally, the margin note says, feed on God's faithfulness there. Feed on God's faithfulness. I want to read something to you and see if it ministers to you. Unless you're into the classics, classical music that is, you probably don't know who Van Cliburn is. Anybody? One or two. Well, before I read the quote, I have to give you a little something so you'll understand. Harvey LeVan, or Van Cliburn, was an American pianist who achieved worldwide recognition in 1958 at the age of 23 when he won the inaugural Quadrennial International Tchaikovsky Competition in Moscow. And this was during the Cold War, so this was like in your face, Russia, if you could say it that way, because everyone in the world expected the Russians to win hands down. And here was this young upstart, 23-year-old, that blew the competition away. Van Cliburn toured domestically and overseas. He played for royalty, heads of state, and every U.S. president from Harry S. Truman to Barack Obama. And he died in 2013 at 78 years old. And what I found interesting, also, and this will help you understand what I'm going to read, was his mom was a piano teacher. And at the age of 3, without any teaching, she found him playing the piano, mimicking one of her students. So with that background, now you can understand what I'm going to read. Let's say a beginning pianist is practicing one Saturday afternoon in the church sanctuary. Suddenly, Van Cliburn walks in the back door and listens to the struggling musician. He says, "I have the ability to come into and give my gift and genius to those who will depend on me. Now tomorrow, if you want to play for the church service, I promise you that if you depend on me, and I'll sit very near you, you will play beautiful piano." So the musician agrees. The struggling musician agrees. Sunday morning, Van Cliburn shows up as promised, and as the pianist sits down, he tells himself, "Right now, I'm going to depend totally on that man's gift." But when he takes his eyes off Van Cliburn and starts thinking, "Everybody's watching me," his performance falls apart. And this illustrates why it's so important for you and I to operate from trust. The Holy Spirit is within us, gives us direction, is there to teach us, guide us, inform us, and so forth. But we need to trust the Holy Spirit that we've been given. It's not going to steer us wrong. If you trust in the Lord and that He will be with you, the Holy Spirit will empower you and you will succeed. I've been asked to do many impossible things, what I considered impossible things in my life. And I knew, without a doubt, without God empowering me, without His presence, His favor, His blessing, His direction, I would utterly fail. And so, I'm not saying that I always hit the nail on the head, but that's the goal. That's what we should do. We need to trust Him. It's so easy to want to fall back on what is comfortable for us. And what we find security in. As long as, let's say this, having preached overseas to hundreds, I could say, as long as it's only 10 people in the room, I don't get too nervous. Or maybe 25 at the most. So then what happens when there's 100, 200? 300. You have to trust. A good friend of mine, we talked, and he said, "Yeah, Pastor Mac, every Sunday I beat myself up after I preach. I could have said it this way, or I could have done it this way." And I said to him, "Doesn't matter what you say, if God doesn't anoint it, you're wasting your time." And that set my friend free. He doesn't beat himself up every Sunday anymore. That's why I'm free. I give it my best shot. If God doesn't anoint it, you could have stayed home. Honestly. He He will empower you, but you need to trust in the Lord, and you will find him to be trustworthy. He will give you what I call 2020 spiritual vision, 2 Chronicles 2020. Put your trust in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. That word for established there means he will confirm or support you. When you trust him, he's going to validate. The Holy Spirit will validate what God has asked you to do. And he will empower it by his presence. So, operate from truth, operate from trust. Number three, operate from his understanding and revelation. You know, you can't, and I hope you understand, I don't want to ever give you my interpretation of Scripture. You understand? Because it may not match his. And I'd be doing him a great disservice and a great dishonor. So operating from his understanding. It says in Proverbs there in verse 6, do not lean on your own understanding. Lean on his understanding, in other words. I'm actually going to read this scripture in New King James Version. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. So that's why I say, and why the scripture says, you don't trust your own understanding, but you do have to trust the Holy Spirit within you, because the Holy Spirit will give you God's understanding. Big difference. Very big difference, and very big difference in the results as well. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Verse 24, I'm going to quote, let him boast of this, that he understands and knows me. 2 Timothy 2, 7, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. When will he give you understanding in everything? When you ask him. When you submit it to him. When you admit that you don't have the answer, God will give you the answer that you need when you go to him. Operate from his understanding. And I won't read this one. Also Colossians 1, 9 to 12, filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So you can study that. That's a nugget right there to draw life from. But I will read 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come, Jesus, and has given us understanding. All right? Came into your life, and now you have a different understanding, hopefully. Well, you do. In order that we might know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That is, knowing him. How do you get to know the Father? Through knowing the Son. How do you get to know Holy Spirit? Through knowing the Son. So we need to seek him for his understanding, and it will be revealed to us. That's what revelation is. You see things through God's eyes. That's all revelation is. God opens the heavens and allows you to see things like he sees them. That's revelation. It's not complicated. Number four. What are we doing here? What are we discussing? How to minimize dynamite, M-I-G-H-T, and maximize dynamite, M-I-T-E. Number four, operate from a submissive heart. Ouch. How many, and isn't it curious, Rich, huh? Many of you weren't here, but he's after our heart. That's how we opened this morning. Don't raise your hands. How many, if any, have a totally submitted heart to the Lord? Remember now, it's not good to lie. Operate from a submissive heart, verse 6 and verse 9. It says in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him. All your ways. Every way possible. What you say, what you do, and even what you think should honor him. Acknowledge him, exalt him, give him precedence and preference in your life. That word acknowledge means to know him in the way, the scripture says, here you go, Holy Spirit, thank you. It says, now we see things what? In a mirror, darkly. But then, when he returns, we will see him face to face and what? We will see him as he really is. So that tells me my conception of Jesus today. You see it? It needs to change or be expanded. Dunamis, dyna, the power that expands. My conception of who Jesus is needs to change. It's always, it should always be changing. If we're growing and we're thriving in the faith, it must change. Psalms 46:10. Cease striving and know, that's the same word there, as in all your ways acknowledge him. Cease striving and know him. Know that I am God. James 4:6-7. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee like a flea. See, it's a very simple three-step process. First, what? Submit to God. Second, resist the devil. Stand tall in who you are in Christ, what he's done, how he saved you and continues to save you. And then watch his behind as he flees from you. Here's a quote from William Hendrickson from his exposition of Philippians. When grace changes the heart, ready? When grace changes the heart, submission out of fear changes to submission out of love, and true humility is born. That's what the process of grace involves. It's not just to bail you out when you're in trouble. It's ultimately to draw you closer to Him and to give you a deeper understanding and a deeper love and appreciation for who He is and what He's done in your life. One more thing. It would seem that grace is what happens between two persons. It is one giving himself to the other. It's responsibility to another. It is a distinctive kind of relating. In a world of men turning their backs on one another, exploiting one another, killing one another, gossiping about one another, trying to possess one another, and controlling one another, grace is one person accepting and confronting another in freedom and responsibility. And of course, that freedom is in Christ Jesus. So we need to decide and live like Father knows best. Operate from a heart that's submissive, that is continually being impacted by the grace of God. Dynamite, not dynamite. Operate, number five, from His wisdom. From verse 7. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. In other words, don't be a wise guy. If we were to paraphrase it in street language, don't be a wise guy, but be wise in His eyes or with His eyes. You'll be wise if you see things like He sees them. Can't go wrong with that one. Operating from His wisdom. Romans 12:16, do not be wise in your own estimation. 1 Corinthians 2:11-16, obviously I'm not going to read it, but it says there at the end, we have the mind of Christ. Study that. I recommend it. Dig deeper in the Word. Because you have the mind of Christ, you can live in victory. And you can't live without it, actually. James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach. Now that's a fancy way of saying, that word reproach is a fancy word of saying, He won't make you feel bad for asking Him. You know how you can ask somebody for something and then you wish you didn't ask because they make you feel like, He won't do that. God has it. You need it. Ask for it. His wisdom. So, the choice we have before us, and we always have before us, is dynamite, M-I-G-H-T, lacking in power because you doubt His word, you doubt who He is, you doubt who he says you are. In other words, you've got a faith issue. So, you're dynamite. Maybe it will happen. It might happen. Or, I hope you prefer this option, I recommend it highly, dynamite, M-I-T-E, firing on all cylinders, reaching your full potential in Christ. Released in your calling, in the fullness of his dynamite or dunamis Holy Spirit power. So, whose report will you believe today? Which report will you choose? Isaiah 53:1. You need to decide, will your life exhibit dynamite, M-I-G-H-T, or will it exhibit dynamite, M-I-T-E? You will either always be disappointed because you're never able to live up to what you thought, or you will always be fulfilled because you know him, you hear his voice, and you walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what it means. You respectfully submit to what God asks of you. Do you have to? No. Do you have a choice? Yes. I wouldn't recommend exercising your free will in certain ways when it comes to walking in the will of God, but ultimately you're free to choose. This is a good way to end the year with a challenge. Are we living in our full potential in Christ? I say, no, we're not. I don't have to know every detail of your life to say that to you. I know that's true for me. And so we need to the Bible doesn't say it this way, but the world says, step up our game. That means lifestyle change. That means that your priorities need to come into alignment with God's priorities. It means you may not be comfortable with what God wants. But I will tell you this. There's nothing more gratifying than knowing and feeling his pleasure when you've done the right thing. And there's nothing more horrible than realizing you've done the wrong thing and you've missed the mark. You didn't witness. God said, go talk to that person right now. And you don't do it. And you missed the opportunity. I'm telling you, it's horrible. I've done it. I don't want to do it. And so the challenge is, as the new year is upon us, not to make some kooky New Year's resolution that we can't keep anyway. Right? How many New Year's resolutions do you keep? I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just trying to challenge all of us. You know, God has a plan of greatness for every believer. We can't do it without him, of course, but that's the plan. so as we end the old and enter the new, I want you to have plenty of new wine to drink. Amen. I just want to sing God a love song. I hope you do too. I woke up singing this song, the chorus of this song. The name of the song by In Pursuit is Love Changes Everything. Huh? It's not the one you got? Like I said, nothing goes according to plan.